Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Hello and welcome to a special edition Rookie Fever podcast where Mike Fanero at Aardvark TV, Shane Swagger at Swagzilla0G, and myself, Dave FF underscore Spaceman Wright, have been bringing you over 30 rookie profiles over the last couple of months. During this series, we've been going in depth with our favorite rookie analysts to give you a focused and complete look at most of the exciting rookies from the 2021 class. And tonight's guest is a personal friend of mine, one of the people I've been more friendly with on in this fantasy football space, John Arrington at Dynasty Coach A on Twitter. John is the founder of the Contender Connection. He also is, he's kind of a big deal. He's the host of the Monocle Dynasty podcast, the host of the Take It or Leave It podcast, and the host of the Devi Devotional. John's got a lot going on. John does a ton of stuff in the fantasy football community. And it's a real pleasure to have John on because he's one of the sharper fantasy players that I personally play with. And I'm really excited to have him on Rookie Fever tonight. John, welcome, sir.
Wow. Thank you for that intro. I don't think I've ever been called a big deal on, at least on Twitter or in the Dynasty game, but you know, maybe I'm getting there. Who knows?
Well, I just did call Isaiah McCoy a big deal last week, so I'd be careful with the, you know, how I loosely use big deal, man.
Actually, that sounds about right. Like small school prospect, you know.
I kid, of course, John. No, really appreciate you coming on tonight. Excited to talk process. Talk our prospect tonight, Kylan Hill, running back out of Mississippi State. Man, I could sit here and shut up with you all night, but I think it's time to get into it. Let's do this. A nice softball to start off here with. How do you approach evaluating rookie running backs? Just wide open. Take us through your process, my friend.
Sure. So as anyone that knows me or has listened to me or seen my Twitter account or anything like that knows, I've created some models this offseason. I started with my wide receiver model, and there's 16 metrics that go into that model. It's a lot to it, but it's come out very, very accurate, and I love it. So I created the wide receiver model first, and then I wanted to create the running back model. I went and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take 16, 20, however many metrics it takes, and I did it, and it just was not accurate at all. It would completely miss on some people and hit on others, and I was like, man, this just doesn't make any sense. Well, I dumbed it down to 6 metrics, and all of a sudden, it got really accurate. And then I actually was talking to you, Spaceman, and you said that made a lot of sense because to you, like running back production, it doesn't necessarily indicate that they'll be great, or in college doesn't necessarily indicate that they'll be great in the NFL. And so that's kind of what I found. You know, just because you're amazing in college as a running back doesn't mean that you'll be amazing in the NFL. And so once I kind of dumbed it down to like these 6 basic things, it started getting really accurate.
You're teasing us, John. You're teasing us. I cannot wait. Let's start off. What's the couple biggest parts of the model?
Obviously, you want to get some idea of like how they got yards. So scrim yards are important. I don't do like total scrim yards, but I do like scrim yards per attempt, scrim yards per game, things of that nature. It's not really like overly weighted in the model, but obviously it's important. Yards per carry over team average. That seems to be a pretty important one. You're basically seeing like how were they compared to the rest of the running backs on their own team. I don't know about you, but if they're better than the rest of the running backs on their team, then that makes sense that they're probably going to be better in the NFL as well. PPR points per touch is another one that I look at. It's not truly indicative by itself, but you know, when you kind of mix it all together, it definitely seems to help. And then obviously their receiving market share, you know, is going to be indicative of if they're going to obviously catch the ball, and we know in PPR dynasty leagues, you know, catching the ball is king. So those are like probably 4 of the most important ones I look at in the production side. But that was what I was going to say, is that basically the model has two sides, the production side and then like the athleticism and the draft capital side. For running backs, draft capital is one of the most important things, whereas it might not be as much for quarterbacks, wide receivers, or tight ends or whatever else. But running backs, it's so important. Hopefully that answers a little bit of it.
No, John, the only thing, I actually do have a couple more questions about this model. Come on, you seem pretty intimate with this thing. I know you've put a ton of work into it. Does it have a name yet? Is it a guy? Is it a girl? You know, is it a name?
That's a good question. I honestly have not named it, but I hate calling it the model. I really do. I hate calling it the model because, A, I feel like people, like, as soon as you say model, people are like, oh, God, model. Maybe that's just me because I talk about it so damn much. But, you know, like, maybe I should name it. If I named it, like, Gertrude or something, people would be like, oh, okay.
I was about to say Beth. I was like, you say, oh, yeah, so I put the numbers into Beth, and this is how she thinks about this or that. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of ways we could go with this, John, but it's interesting. Little reflection maybe after the show we can talk about some names. But, well, first off, I liked how you broke down how you weight certain things or just what goes into it, not how you weight it, because people are like, eyes start to gloss over a little bit there. So I like how you gave us the overview of what really matters for you for running back production. Now, what part of the athleticism, what athleticism measurements or, you know, events or what have you, do you care about?
40 time kind of matters. It's not like, it's really not the end all be all or anything like that, but it matters. I put a weight adjusted speed score in the model. If they're big and fast, it's going to be good. If you're like Derrick Henry, you know, you're going to be good. If you're Najee Harris, you're probably going to be good. Really, what I've found is burst score is really indicative of point scoring in fantasy. So you obviously need more than just burst, but if you have the production side and then you have a really good burst score and then obviously draft capital along with that, there's probably a good chance that you're going to be a really good running back.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah, I thought I was going to have a couple other follow-up questions for you, John, but you hit that out of the park. I do have one left, and this is kind of something I've been harping on lately in the rookie profiles I've been doing. There's so much information out there in the fantasy community right now, so much analysis being done. There is a lot of noise. It's difficult to decide what matters, what doesn't matter. For you, what do you think is noise that people pay attention to too much when they're evaluating these rookie running backs and that you do not pay attention to in your model or any of your evaluation?
Well, I think the most simple one is yards per carry. There's so many factors that play into yards per carry, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the offense, whether it could really be who they're playing against. It could really be a number of things, but yards per carry is one of the major ones. Total yards doesn't really seem to matter. It's kind of goes along with the yards per carry. You have no idea why able to accumulate that many yards. It's better to look at that's why I look at things like points per touch and, you know, scrim yard per attempt and stuff like that, because I want to know what's happening on a per play basis, not necessarily per game basis or per season basis. And then rushing attempts, where it's kind of goes against what you would think in the NFL, but like in the NFL, you want the running backs that are getting those weighted opportunities. In college, you know, at least for rushing attempts, it doesn't seem to matter as much. If a guy gets 25, 30, versus a guy that gets 16, obviously if you weigh it compared to how many attempts the actual team is doing, then that's completely different. But just overall rush attempts doesn't seem to truly matter.
And I hear what you're saying too, is I found is there's not necessarily a linear correlation where, hey, you have, you know, six rush attempts per game in your career or something like that. And then you have 12, that player, the one with 12 is necessarily gonna be better. But then I think rush attempts per game is more of a threshold stat in my opinion than an actual, hey, oh, you had 25 carries per game. That must mean you're better than the person who had 21 carries per game.
Yeah, and I originally had stuff like that in the model. And like I said, I just really dumbed it down and just made it, or dumbing it down sounds bad, but like I simplified it. And, you know,
don't talk about Beth that way.
Poor Beth. You're going to miss on guys like Miles Sanders. You're going to miss on guys even like a Josh Jacobs. And I don't know why I'm focused on that draft class right now, but that's why, like, you're going to miss on players like that if you're looking for all those things like rushing attempts, like total points for game and all that kind of stuff, because they really didn't have a large role on their college teams. But now we see that they might not be amazing in the NFL, but they're at least good and they're scoring points for you.
John, I really like how you've broken down your process here, but I'm going to bring another question out of right field off the show sheet. but I have total confidence in you, my friend, with this one. Now, are you totally whatever my model says kind of guy, or do you add your own? Do you tweak it slightly, not like manually or anything, but do you have your own opinions that you don't, or do you just rank it whatever the model says is how it goes? Or do you, you know, you might see some plays or hear some things that you might mentally adjust your rankings?
Well, I think you always have to at least consider landing spot and stuff like that. But like pre-draft, it's going to be just what the model says. You know, like once the draft happens and we know landing spots and we know stuff like that, you know, there's some guys, especially not necessarily the running backs. They're all kind of separated into pretty good tiers, but with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks, there's some that are very close. And so I'll use it more as a tiebreaker. I'm not going to jump a guy up a tier just because I really like the landing spot. But you know, I might move him to the top of a tier just because I like the landing spot or something to that effect.
Interesting. And I hear exactly what you're saying here. You've checked a lot of the boxes as far as your process is concerned. I think I'm ready to dive into the main course tonight and talk about some Kylan Hill. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
One reason why I wanted to have you on is because I think you have a pretty good vision of the whole class itself. And I wanted to see how Kylan Hill fits into this.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Before we get too much further down the Kylan Hill road, I want to give a quick intro of his production profile and maybe some basic measurements or age stuff. And then John's going to take us away and we're going to have a lot of fun with Kylan Hill tonight. But actually, what I really enjoyed listening to John beforehand is I have my own spreadsheet and I put all these rookies in. And Kylan Hill was one of those players who stuck out to me early on as well. And then I kind of forgot about him as you focus on the first couple rounds of rookie drafts. I feel like that's what you're trying to catch up on. And now we're getting to the part where we're trying to learn about these third and fourth round rookies. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot how much I liked Kylan Hill. So I'm really excited to hear what John has to say about him tonight. And Kylan Hill is going to be a 23-year-old rookie out of Mississippi State. He maxed out at 18.6 carries per game 2 seasons ago. And he had seasons of 22, 18, and 23 receptions. And that 23 reception season came only in 4 games during the 2020 campaign. And I think he's around 214 pounds and he's decent size. And he ran a 4.57 pro day. And he has solid missed tackles forced numbers from Pro Football Focus. I believe he was 17th in the class back in 2019. So he's Kylan Hill's. That's just kind of how we like a general intro. And I can't wait to see what else John has to say about him. So John, you said that a little spark, you know, he's not maybe your guy, but what's kind of sparks you a little bit when I mentioned Kylan Hill and you look at his college production profile?
So, you know, like one of the things I mentioned before was the yards per carry over team average. And Kylan Hill was at 1.5 yards per carry over team average, which actually matches Najee Harris and Javonte Williams. Now, Travis Etienne was at 2.4 yards per carry over average. So, once again, there's no one particular metric is going to tell the whole story. But, you know, you like to see him meet thresholds and things like that. So the 1.5 yards is pretty nice. It's not like ungodly or anything like that, but I like to see it. Another thing is he averaged 1.08 PPR points per game or per touch. I'm sorry. Not per game. That would be bad.
I was about to say, John, you're really doing a great job making an argument for Kylan Hill here.
Najee Harris was at 1.2. points per game, or gee, there it is again, points per touch. And then Travis Etienne was at 1.48, and then Javonte Williams was at 1.28 points per touch. So, you know, it kind of gives you a comparison. Like, he's not quite up there, but he's definitely not too far off from those guys. One thing that really sticks out, and, you know, obviously we all know the 2020 season was crazy, COVID and opt-outs and everything else, but he actually averaged 7.7 receptions per game in 2020, but he only played 3 games. So it's this crazy small sample size, but I mean, he averaged 7.7 receptions per game. Like, we know the guy can catch the ball, you know, and he actually averaged over 10 yards per reception. So not only was he catching the ball, but he was doing something with it once he caught it. So I think we can see he's at least a capable receiver. And then you had mentioned the size. He's 5'11", 214. Like, that's plenty good enough to be at least maybe not a true workhorse, but, you know, at least like touch the ball 15, 16, 18 times a game, that kind of thing. So those are all things that kind of stick out to me. Like, he's not undersized. He's not, and he did, production wise, he did pretty well in college. So those are kind of things that I'm looking for.
When I listen to you talk about Colin Hill, what jumps off the page to me is that if he ever, the opportunity came his way, he's got a decent receiving ability. He's got the size to handle a decent workload. He's not Derrick Henry. Nobody really is. But he checks off enough boxes where you think, hey, if he was a secondary back, he came into a larger workload, he could have some serious fantasy value. All right, so we talked about things that are exciting with Colin Hill, but obviously he's not in the Najee Harris, Travis Etienne ballpark. What are some of the concerns in his profile? Why are we letting rookie fever totally wipe us or like blow us off our feet? Let's tap the brakes a little bit. What is it about Colin Hill that we have to tap the brakes with?
So he's not the most athletic guy in the world, especially for his size. He ran a 4.57 40, like you said. He actually does have a decent burst score. I think it was like a 1.22. And I did say that's kind of important, and that's something that is factored into the model. I think the biggest concern for me right now is draft capital, because I have him projected as a fourth round pick in the NFL draft, and that's not going to scream like draft me early in rookie drafts, you know, when a guy's getting. But once again, you know, it's going to lend itself to that. Like, if he could get a chance, obviously everyone's like, oh, who's going to be the next James Robinson? That doesn't happen. At least it doesn't happen very often. So like, we can't expect that to happen. But if it did, like, I think he would be fine. But being a fourth round rookie, if he does end up going in the fourth, you know, that's not going to be overly exciting. And then obviously you mentioned the age, you know, being 23 years old, people are already giving Najee Harris knocks because he's going to be 23. He's a top tier, like the best or one of the best, at least in the class. So we have to at least give Kylan a little knock for that too.
What's going to be interesting, John, what we have here, when you said Najee, and then all of a sudden in my head too, I started thinking about Keyshawn Vaughn, who was an older prospect as well. I kind of get the vibes where, hey, is Colin Hill going to be like Keyshawn Vaughn without the expectations, where we don't have all this expectation with him? That's kind of another little just thing in the back of my head that you're sparking some creativity, John. I'm not used to it. You're sparking some creativity in my mind here. Haven't thought of these things yet. Now, I know that you're actually pretty big on the numbers. Actually, going back a little bit, before I even go back a little bit, have you heard anything? One thing that's kind of jumped out to me, have you heard anything about character concerns with Colin Hill at all?
I haven't, but I have not heard anything. And I did look at a draft profile for him last night just to make sure that I didn't miss anything or anything like that. And it didn't say anything about character concerns. So
just because I feel like that is something that we should, for anyone listening, that they should possibly know, is that I guess he did not appreciate how he's being used in his final season. I think he might have originally been thinking about opting out of the season, and then he didn't. When he came back, he was kind of sharing the workload a little bit. And also, so he basically showed that he could catch, because one of the questions was, can he catch the ball? He showed that he could catch the ball, and people said he quit on his team. And I don't necessarily, it seems sometimes when I think people are looking for a story when there isn't a story, because I don't hear people making that comparison to Terrace Marshall at all when he opted out early after he proved that he could do it. And so I just wanted to add that as some context for maybe why he isn't getting the same buzz as maybe some of those second or third tier running backs are in this class. So
I think in a normal year, maybe I would knock him for it. But in 2020, in a COVID year, I'm really not going to worry about that at all. I mean, we saw people opt out, come back, opt out again. We saw people, you know, not play at all, obviously. Like, I guess it's like some people are saying Ja'Marr Chase should have played and stuff like that. But, you know, he's still going to be drafted as a top 10 pick, top five pick in the NFL draft. So obviously the NFL doesn't truly care. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it.
This is one of the things where when we said talk about fading some noise, I think this kind of any of these COVID related, this is a personal decision. This is these players' careers that we're talking about. Let them make their own decisions. And I think when we're starting to, yeah, exactly. And why are we judging them and applying anything like that? So I really like how you phrase that you don't really get into that. So that was just a little aside that I had heard that I wanted to bring up in case people were talking about, wanted to know a little bit more about Colin Hill. But you don't watch a lot of stuff. But have you heard anything about his play style at all? Or is he a bruiser? Is he a, like, does he, Is he a home run hitter? Like, how does he win as far as a running, like a prototype? Does he have a prototype as a running back?
Well, running a 4.57 at 5'11", 214, I don't think he's really a home run hitter. Basically, it's said that he has really good contact balance, like above average contact balance, which is obviously something you want in a running back. He doesn't get tackled very easily. And obviously, we saw with the 7.7 yard receptions per game that he's a versatile running back that can be used in the receiving game. But in the draft profile, it said they expected him to likely be like the number two running back in a committee. And that kind of makes sense. Like I said, I don't truly see like workhorse status with his size and his pedigree. But, you know, all that kind of made sense to me. But the good contact balance, you know, not going down on first touch and everything is definitely something you like to hear.
Interesting. So those are things that I had not heard. So I like that little bit of context applied here. Moving on. Now, you had said that you think you have him projected as a fourth round pick. Is that kind of the consensus that he's going the fourth round?
I use, and I think you use a different site, but I use Grinding the Mocks, which is a website that I learned from Chad Parsons of the UTH pod. And I think you guys might have even had him on. He told me about it. I've been going there and basically just takes the consensus of like 1,000 different mock drafts. And it just, you know, puts it in there. And then whatever, you know, wherever these guys land is where they land. So I'm not saying it's perfect, but, you know, it definitely seems to make sense that he would be somewhere around the fourth round.
No, that makes sense. Now, one of those things where I'd probably get, if he got early fourth round capital or third round capital, I'd start to get a little excited. And I think I open my eyes a little bit, but then I also wouldn't be surprised if Colin Hill slipped to the fifth round either. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, for some reason, and I'm not an expert on it whatsoever when it comes
John,
to
John, you're on the show. You're the expert tonight, my friend.
But I feel like in this running back class, there's not enough good running backs to really push him down, because like some team's going to be like, I want that running back in the fourth round. It wouldn't blow my mind if he dropped to the fifth, but I really feel like that fourth round, it was actually early fourth, if I remember correctly. I want to say it was like 133 or something like that was the consensus. So pretty much maybe that mid fourth. I guess it wouldn't be like a true surprise, but I would definitely like to see him be in that early fourth. That would be very nice.
You know, the NFL draft hasn't happened yet, John, but we're 2 weeks away, according to this recording, and probably a week away or 8 days away when this airs. So we're still a little early. We don't have all the information yet, but where does Colin Hill rank for you, or where does he kind of fall among your tiers compared to other rookie running backs from the 2021 class?
So as of right now, like I said, draft capital is very important, so it very well could change. But as of right now, I have him as my running back 8 in the class, and he's in tier 4 for running backs. Tier 4 is still like draftable, but it's not somebody that you're going to, you know, get really excited about and draft in the first or second round of a rookie draft or anything like that.
So, John, now you mentioned that he's in the fourth tier, and he's obviously not in the tier that Etienne and Harris are, but what are some of the running backs around him? Just to give us a picture of where 8, you said RB8, correct? So where does RB8, what does that RB8 mean really for people listening?
It's a pretty substantial teardrop from Michael Carter, 5th. Then you have Trey Sermon at 6. Chris Evans at 7, and then Kylan Hill at 8. Trey Sermon, Chris Evans, Kylan Hill, and Chuba Hubbard are all really close together. So the draft capital could really change any of those guys to being 6th or 7th or whatever. Like, it would have to be like a crazy surprise for them to jump a tier. I just don't see that happening. So yep, they could jump. Kylan could jump all the way up to 6, but I don't think he could get into the 5th or the 4th or anything like that. And I guess technically he could drop a little bit, but you have a pretty substantial, not really, it's not a tier drop. Technically, it's still the tier 4, but you have another like pretty substantial drop from Chuba Hubbard to Ramondre Stevenson, which is the 10th ranked running back.
Interesting. So now we know where he falls in your running backs. Now, where does he fall compared to the QBs, RBs, the QBs, wide receivers, and tight ends in this class? Essentially, where are you targeting him in rookie super flex drafts?
Probably looking like the end of the third, maybe the beginning of the fourth. Obviously, I would love to get him later than that. You know, because of draft capital and everything, it's hard to say, like, pinpoint the exact pick or anything like that. But I really think, like, at the end of the third, you're starting to get to the point where a lot of those wide receivers, tight ends, you know, obviously the quarterbacks and everything aren't going to be all that great. And, you know, I might start looking back at the running backs at that point. So I'd probably be looking at him.
So you're actually a little bit lower than ADP for Hill, because I think he's going in the mid third round. You'd rather have him in the late third round?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of looked at my list last night and, you know, there's a decent amount of wide receivers. Obviously we know there's at least six or seven, maybe even eight like draftable quarterbacks. You know, I feel like in the draft, we have the four, maybe even five really draftable tight ends. And then, you know, obviously all the running backs. So I really feel like end of the third is probably where I'd probably lock it in when it's all said and done. But, you know, I guess I didn't realize I was behind ADP in that. So maybe I'm a little bit lower than I thought.
Here's a question for you then. Where, so just diving a little bit more. So Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, do you rather have those in a Superflex draft or would you rather have Kylan Hill?
I have Trask higher than Mond. So I'd definitely take Trask over Hill. I'd probably consider Hill before Mond or maybe right around there, I guess, depending on maybe then. I don't really draft for team need or anything like that, but in the third or the fourth round of rookie drafts, you can start thinking about team needs a little bit. So, you know, if you need a quarterback or if you don't, then, you know, that can kind of sway you a little bit.
Are how many tight ends are you taking? Are you taking the top three tight ends over Hill and anybody else for the tight ends? Or is it just Brevin Jordan, Pat Freiermuth, and Kyle Pitts?
I think I would probably take Hunter Long as well over Hill. And then a couple of the wide receivers that, you know, maybe aren't as well known, like a Cade Johnson, somebody like that, that, you know, I obviously it depends if he gets drafted, if he doesn't get drafted, like that kind of thing. But as of right now, I have him a little bit higher. So it's so close with all these guys that when you're looking at projected rounds and projected numbers, it's really tough to say. I've done mocks and I've done a lot, you know, quite a few mocks, and I end up with Hill a lot of times, like at the end of the third. And so that's kind of where I was feeling I would take him. But obviously if his ADP is a little bit higher, then I guess that won't guarantee that I'll get him either.
Interesting. No, really. I just wanted to break down. I think that just paints a nice picture of where he falls in your rankings. So obviously last year's 2020 class had some stacked running backs, especially at the top. And then you throw in James Robinson, who wasn't even drafted in a lot of leagues. You're getting six, seven running backs that are from this class that were pretty freaking good running backs from the 2020 class. Where does Kylan Hill fall for you? Because obviously he's not in that range at all. Let's give it the Joshua Kelly, Keyshawn Vaughn range. Where does he like kind of fall on that, or the Zach Moss range for you? Who would you rather as a prospects? How do you kind of view in Kylan Hill compared to those players from last year's class?
So like I said, he's my running back eight in this class, but in the 2020 class, he would have been my running back 10. He would have been directly after Keyshawn Vaughn and Zach Moss, although it would have been really close, like score wise. But they just have better draft capital. And so, like I said, that matters for running backs. It matters for them getting on the field. I mean, I think Keyshawn Vaughn's kind of like a tricky one just because you have a Super Bowl contending team. You have Tom Brady kind of like, you know, firing off orders of who he wants. And you have all these veterans coming to the team. That's not necessarily a normal thing. So I don't know if we can really like truly look at Keyshawn Vaughn and say, this is what happens to a third round rookie running back. But with Zach Moss, we saw like, he wasn't great, but he got on the field. We can't guarantee that with Kylan, at least at this point. So I think I would still have him behind those two, but I actually think I like Kylan a little bit more than Zach Moss. It's just, you know, the score is a little bit higher.
Maybe in relation to this class, because there's not as many good rookie running backs, you might have a little bit more value for Kylan Hill. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I think, and when it's all said and done, like I said, when I started looking at this profile, I was like, man, it's just one of those things where if he can get on the field, I might actually be excited about him. And so this might be one of those instances where you were asking, like, is it all about the model or are you going to make a decision, you know, make a choice? And so I might actually just be like, hey, you know what? He's my running back six now. You know, he's not my running back eight when it's all said and done, just because it is pretty close as far as the scores. And I like him. I kind of like his profile.
This is what happens when you come on Rookie Fever, John. You should have prepared for this. When you've got the fever, you've got the Kylan Hill fever, that he just starts creeping up. So that's, I appreciate that. And to wrap it, actually, I'm going to go off the board again, John, because as we're saying that Kylan Hill's going mid, you know, he's going in different spots in the third round. There's a high standard deviation for where he's going in rookie drafts. And the third rounds are crapshoots anyway, as far as ADP is concerned. It depends upon your league, what your league makes value, yada, yada, yada. But Kenneth Gainwell, Michael Carter, and specifically those two running backs, where they're going early second round. And then Kylin Hill, who's going anywhere, like a wide range in the third round. Value-wise, would you rather invest that top capital in the top of the second round over some wide receivers that you like? Or would you rather go, hey, I'll hit these wide receivers that I'm excited about and go Kylin Hill in the third round?
I'd say there's almost no chance I'm going to end up with Kenneth Gainwell or Michael Carter in any of my rookie drafts because of that reason. I like the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and the tight ends like way too much to draft any of those running backs where they're going right now with ADP, with mock drafts that I've done, things like that. It's not necessarily because of Kylin Hill, but just because of how I like to draft and who I like in this draft. There's a much higher chance that I'll end up with Kylin Hill than I will with Kenneth Gainwell.
I'm in lockstep with you, John. I'm in lockstep with you. We're going to, the other host, Finero and Swags, won't hear this. But I am not going to take, we're doing a second round mock tonight. I am not going to take a single running back in the second round unless it's Kylin Hill. So that's it. I like seeing us in lockstep there. John, this has been a lot of fun. As we wrap up Kylin Hill here, what are some potential landing spots that might get you a little excited if Kylin Hill lands there?
Well, I mean, obviously, because I feel like he's kind of just like an injury away kind of guy or something like that. Like, he could really end up anywhere. Like, you know, he could end up in New York for the Giants, and, you know, Saquon could get hurt again, and all of a sudden he's the next man up. But you don't want him to go there. So I was trying to think of, like, places you would actually want him to go to. And even though the Cardinals just picked up James Conner, they only paid him $1.75 million. And so I really think the Cardinals would actually be a good spot for him, because I know you love Chase Edmonds, and I do as well, but I'm just trying to think of, you know, they could use somebody that's a little bit bigger, you know, maybe, like I said, I think that would be a really nice split between Edmonds and Hill, and, you know, kind of do like a 50-50, 60-40 kind of split. And then the other one was the Chargers, and it's kind of the same thing, you know, like, they've kind of shown us that they don't want Austin Ekeler to be the guy. They didn't truly pay him as the guy either. They kind of paid him more as like a Tariq Cohen kind of deal than they did a Alvin Kamara or something like that. So I really feel like if he would go there, it would be a nice split where he doesn't have to be the workhorse or anything like that, but they could score a lot of points.
What I really liked there was saying how Kylin Hill, landing spot doesn't necessarily matter a ton for him because he had, you didn't say it, but in my head, I thought you might've said it, like we're going to say it. Was his receiving upside, that receiving ability that gives him kind of wherever he lands, he's going to have at least maybe some opportunity even out of the gate, even if he doesn't get the draft capital, even if there is some bodies in front of him.
Yeah, you explained it a much better way than I did. And I think you were going to ask me if there's like a bad fit for him, because kind of like what you said, I feel like he has that kind of like all around ability where he can really be, you know, versatile running back for any team. And so I don't know that there's really any bad landing spot, because I don't think he's going to be thrust into a starting role immediately, no matter what. There's obviously better or worse ones, but I don't necessarily think there's a bad one, because I think he could really fit whatever any team needs.
And that's how we do on Rookie Fever. There's nothing that's going to dampen this hype, John. Nothing's going to hold us down, baby. Kylin Hill, get excited. It's just what's been fun is that we start off in Rookie Fever talking about a lot of these bigger name prospects. And as we've moved on, we're starting to talk about some players that aren't being talked about as much, John. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking Kylin Hill with you tonight. I am extremely appreciative of you coming on. So, John, from the bottom of my heart, and also too, on behalf of Finero, on behalf of Swags, thank you for coming on Rookie Fever. I've had a lot of fun tonight. This was better. I wouldn't say better than expected, but this definitely met expectations, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to all the rookie profiles. They're all great. I love how you guys are all doing it individually, and you all kind of have your own individual flair and everything like that. You're listening to the profiles, but you know, you're mixing it up, and everyone just kind of does their own thing. I really love that. I'm glad that it was you that interviewed me. And you know, as much as I would have loved to talk to Finero and Swags and everything, but I'm glad it was you. It was a lot of fun. So I really appreciate you bringing me on.
Maybe next year, John, we'll have, maybe I'll share, John. Maybe you can talk with Swags or Finero. Who knows? All right, John, before we call it a night, can you tell us some more about where people can find you, what you've been working on, maybe some pods that you've been on, or just what's going on with the Monocle and Contender Connection?
Yeah, real quick before I do that, though, one thing I'd kind of written down, and maybe it'll help people a little bit, but I kind of feel like Kylan Hill is a David Montgomery light for me. Like, I feel like maybe he's a little bit smaller. They kind of score similarly in the model, and you know, like they kind of have, they're not really overly athletic, that kind of thing, but they can be elusive, and they can break tackles. They have good contact balance, things like that. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there for people, maybe just get an idea in their head. And then after what Montgomery did last year, then, you know, that might get people even more excited.
Yes. Well, look at that. So look, he's not just a model guy. He can do comps. Montgomery light. I think that's going to get people a little excited, a little sparkle in their eye. And that's all about what we want on Rookie Fever. And John, actually, before I kick it to you, I actually want to take a sec. I don't usually do this with guests at the close, but I want to. And I just want to say a thank you also to John, because John runs Happy Hours on Friday nights. And that's a place where people just come to talk fantasy football. And it's where we talk friends. And he's been doing that since last February, where it started during the pandemic or right before the pandemic. And he's been bringing people together. Doesn't matter. You just shoot him at Dynasty Coach A, say, hey, I want to join Happy Hour. And there's so many fun, entertaining people involved. And there's really my closest friendships on fantasy Twitter come from Happy Hour. And John, so I want to thank you for what you've done for me personally, because Happy Hour has been a big part of my fantasy experience for the last year. And I look forward to it continuing. So I also wanted to have a big shout out to John and Happy Hour. But John, what else do you want to talk about as we close out Rookie Fever tonight?
Yeah, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. And the people on Happy Hour are amazing, and it's blowing up. I mean, we had like 25 people this past week, and you know, we started with like three. So, you know, it's kind of amazing what it's become, but we have, it's just a place to have some drinks. You don't have to drink if you don't want to. Just talk football. We talk life. We have fun, that kind of thing. Like you said, I'm at Dynasty Coach A on Twitter. You can follow me there. I'm on the Monocle podcast, Monocle Dynasty podcast, the Debbie Devotional, Take It or Leave It pod. I'll probably start another podcast next week or something, just because that's what I do. I start podcasts, and sometimes not even when I don't even know what I'm talking about, I'll still just like to talk and have fun, just like I'm doing right now. But, you know, obviously contenderconnection.com. We're putting out articles, rankings, all that kind of good stuff there. And then, you know, reach out, talk to me about my model. I love, like, I probably said it like 18 times on the show, but I love talking about Beth and, you know, I'd love to discuss anything, help you with your drafts or do anything like that. You know, I like to be the coach. I like to be Dynasty Coach A. You know, like, that's the whole point is to help you guys and help people with their squads and things like that.
John, thanks again. And I had a lot of fun tonight. This was a great way to kick off my vacation. Well, not quite vacation, but it definitely gave me a taste, John, talking some rookies with you on Rookie Fever. This was a delight. And people, before we head out, make sure you check out, if this is your first Rookie Fever that you've listened to, make sure that we've had over 30 rookie profiles at this point. Go check out the other rookie profiles from your favorite dynasty analysts, Swags and Finero at Aardvark TV, at Swagzilla0G. I've been doing some amazing Rookie Fever profiles as well. Thank you all for joining us. This was a great time tonight on Rookie Fever.